good morning, and welcome to worship online at Alvador Church for this Sunday, July the 17th. We are really glad that you are with us online. We would love to see you in person as well in our cottage church this summer, so hopefully at some point you can come and join us. In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge that we live, work, and play on the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Confederacy, Siksika, Kainai, Piikani, the Tsuut'ina, the Stoney Nakoda Nations, and the Métis Nation Region 3, and all people who make their homes in the Treaty 7 region of Southern Alberta. We also affirm and reaffirm our pledge to stand for justice and our commitment that our church is a place where all people, regardless of race, culture, sexuality, or faith, are welcome. Together we hope that all can find the true love of God and authentic community. Our call to worship this morning. In holy splendor we worship the Lord. In God is glory and strength. The Lord is mighty. God is with us. In torments and storms, God's peace pervades. In rumbling thunder, God's voice, God's mighty voice, soothes. The Lord is majestic. God is with us. The whisper of the Lord snaps silence. The unwavering sound persists. The Lord is awesome. God is with us. As flames being fanned, the presence grows. In its shadow, the wilderness pleads. The Lord is powerful. God is with us. Enthroned, God rules the universe. The peaceful scepter prevails. God reigns, and God is with us. In whirling winds, nature acknowledges glory. The people in the temple rejoice. It is certain God is with us. Let us pray. We acknowledge, O God, that you are indeed with us. And as we come from the four corners of the world to worship you today, may we truly worship you in spirit and in truth, and may you touch us so that we may be changed and be a little bit more like you, Jesus. Fill us, Holy Spirit, we pray, once again. Amen. So, as I have mentioned, that we are doing cottage church this summer, and for those of you that are unfamiliar, it is a time when we meet in the lounge area of our church in a little bit more of an informal setting. Our numbers are usually a bit lower because of lots of people traveling, etc. And it's just a chance to see each other and talk to each other and then think about some of the truths of God as we share together. It's based on the idea that if you were to go to the cottage for a time of rest and relaxation, you might, on a Sunday morning, go and round up a couple of other families you know who also know the Lord Jesus Christ and invite them to come, and together you would just have a time of maybe singing and praying and sharing and scripture reading, and that's the basis for what we are doing. So it's a much more informal time together, and we quite enjoy it. And our services online are going to be similar in that they are a little bit more informal. Now, I would like us this morning, if you were here, we would be sharing prayer requests, we would be sharing prayer time together, we would just almost do more conversational and popcorn prayers, and that's a little harder to do online, but I still encourage you to just think about what are some of the prayer requests you would like to be bringing before the Lord, and what is God, the Holy Spirit, prompting you to think about as you come to Him in prayer. Let's spend a little bit of time together in prayer this morning. True God, living Spirit, you move like the wind, and in quiet ways you refresh us. Like the wind, you will not be stopped. And if we build against you, our constructions of mind and matter crumble. Ever-present Spirit, breathe on us. Let us breathe in thankfulness and joy. Let us find our strength for living in your clean air. Purify our lives restore our polluted worlds and our polluted minds. Spirit of God, you are the breath of creation, the wind of change that blows through our lives, opening us up to new dreams and new hope and new life in Jesus Christ. Forgive us our closed minds, which barricade themselves against new ideas, preferring the past to what you might want to do through us tomorrow. Forgive our closed eyes, which fail to see the needs of your world, blind to opportunities of service and love. Forgive our closed hands, which clutch our gifts and our wealth for our own use alone. Forgive us our closed hearts, which limit our affections to ourselves and our own. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray that you will spread like the wind over all the earth. Rain down your peace, particularly in Eastern Europe, in the Middle East, like Afghanistan, Syria, in Africa, like Sudan and South Somalia, in Asia, like Myanmar, etc. Spread your healing winds throughout the world to those who have COVID and other sicknesses, to those suffering from mental illnesses, and so on. Move your comforting breezes over all that are grieving, for all kinds of reasons, particularly for Ruth and the Fraser family and others in our midst who are grieving. We pray you will wrap your arms around them and hold them close. Creator God, we acknowledge your presence in us, and we thank you that you are with us wherever we go. May we live into all that you have created us to be, and may we be your instruments of peace as we move through your creation. We pray all of this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, as you might have heard through the prayer, our theme today is wind. Actually, our theme for the summer is based on creation calling to us, and how does God call us through his creation. And for most of us, we often have a chance to be outdoors in the summer and to be a closer knit part of God's creation and to see him in so many ways. And like I said, today I want us to take a look at the wind, an essential part of creation that we don't talk about all the time. I have to tell you, I am not a fan of wind. I do not like to walk in the wind. I've been in some scary wind situations, and it can frighten me. So talking about this is a bit of a stretch for me sometimes, and maybe for you too. However, the winds are a huge part of Scripture and of God's creation, and it's good for us to look at it. And as I mentioned last week, a word search and a study of Scripture about our weekly themes this summer, which, as I said, is winds today, is a good exercise. And the songs in our playlist that accompany this video are also talking about the wind. It's amazing how many times that shows up. You know, we tend to think that everything that God created is lovely and peaceful and gentle. But realistically, that's not quite so. It's all good, and God declared it good, as we read in Genesis. But when we read Scripture, we often see the mean or violent side of creation. Think about it. There are earthquakes. Matthew 28 talks about that. And floods. And in fact, Scriptures actually say in Luke 21, verse 11, there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. Yet all of that is still a part of God's creation. It's kind of like we want to think about God's love and kindness, etc., all the time, and we don't really like thinking about God's judgment or condemnation, etc. We like the nice stuff, and we shy away from the hard stuff. The same is true with wind, I think. Winds can be wonderful, but they can also be very destructive. And they are important to our earth. Blizzards, tornadoes, hurricanes, storms, all of those things are hard. breezes and air streams, a little nicer. Part of the evaporation cycle is it's necessary to have the wind. It's necessary for the currents of the earth, in the sea and the sky. We are a little more cognizant these days of El Niño and La Niña and the effects that has on our weather. But when I first moved to Bolivia, I hadn't heard of that. Of course, the Bolivian people were very aware of the whole El Niño-La Niña cycle, and they were very in tune with nature that way. And the El Niño and La Niña do affect the crops, the winds, the temperature, all those things. And God created all of that. Winds can be so powerful. And just like the rest of creation, God uses the winds for his purposes. Well, maybe think of some examples where that is true in your own life and experiences, and also in scripture as well. I've lived through a few tornadoes nearby, strong winds, and not a lot of fun, pretty scary in some situations. And yet, God was there. If you could be with us today in Cottage Church, that's exactly what we're going to do right now, is share in some of our experiences with the wind. Some examples in scripture we might think about. There's Noah. God dried up the land with the wind. Genesis 8:1 says, "But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded." In the life of Moses, wind was often there. Exodus 10:13 says, "So Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt, and the Lord made an east wind blow across the land all that day and all that night, and by morning the wind brought the locusts." And then a couple verses later, we read, "And the Lord changed the wind to a very strong west wind, which caught up the locusts and carried them into the Red Sea. Not a locust was left anywhere in Egypt." Interesting, isn't it? And then at the Red Sea in Exodus 14, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided. That would have had to be a pretty strong wind, don't you think? And God used it to save his people from the Egyptians. And then when they're in the middle of the desert, Numbers 11 says, "Now a wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. It scattered them up to 2 cubits deep all around the camp, as far as a day's walk in any direction." That's pretty incredible. That's a lot of birds. And the people were fed. And God used the wind. And then in the 1 Kings 19 with Elijah, the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. I'm going to leave you to remember or to go look up in 1 Kings 19. Where was the Lord in all of that? But that would have been a scary thing, because God told Elijah to go stand on the mountain. And then all this happens and the mountains are torn apart and the rocks are shattered. That would have been pretty scary. The word wind or winds appears over 113 times in the New International Version of the Bible and more in some others. In Job, the word wind appears 14 times. In Psalm, 11 times. In Ecclesiastes, 14 times. In Isaiah, 13 times. In Jeremiah, 12 times. In Ezekiel, 11 times. It's often used. But many times, there is a direction attached to those verses, particularly with the prophets. Unger's Bible Dictionary tells us that the Hebrews recognized the existence of four prevailing winds as issuing, broadly speaking, from the four cardinal points: north, south, east, and west. Maybe a inferred from their custom using the expression four winds as being equivalent to the four quarters of the hemisphere. The north wind, or as it's usually called, the north, was naturally the coldest of the four, and its presence is favorable on the vegetation in Song of Solomon 4. It blows chiefly in October, and it brings dry and cold. It is described in Proverbs as bringing the rain, and in case that case, it's really the northwest wind. The northwest wind prevails from the autumn equinox, which would be September, to the beginning of November, and then the north wind from June to the equinox. So from June to November, it was basically a north wind of some kind. The east wind crosses the sandy wastes of the Arabian Desert before reaching Palestine, and was hence termed come from across the wilderness. It blows with violence and is supposed to be used generally for any violent wind. So if they talk about the east wind, it's usually a violent wind, and it probably in that's the sense that we've used in Exodus 14. And in Palestine, the east wind prevails from February to June. The Shirakaya or Sirocco wind is the east wind, and it is used for all kinds of blowing in from the desert, east, south, southeast, even southwest. They're hot winds. When you see a south wind blowing, you say, it'll be a hot day. And it turns out that way. That's actually says that in scripture like five or six times. The south wind blow chiefly in the spring and for a day at a time. And they already pass over into rain with the slightest change of direction. So if it goes from southeast, it goes to southwest, in come the rain. The west and the southwest winds bring come into Palestine loaded with moisture, gathered from the Mediterranean, and so expressively termed by the Arabs the fathers of the rain. Westerly winds prevail in Palestine from November to February, and damp from the sea drop their moisture and cause the winter rains. In summer, the winds blow chiefly out of the drier northwest and, meeting only warmth, don't cause showers, but they mitigate the heat. So the latter is a function, it's fulfilled from morning to morning with almost perfect punctuality. He strikes the coast after sunrise in Haran in July, June and July. He used to reach us with 10 and 12 o'clock and blow so well that the hours previous to that were generally the hottest of the day. All of this is from the Angers Dictionary still. In addition to the four regular winds, the Bible mentions local squalls, to which the Sea of Gennesaret was liable. In the narrative of Paul's voyage, the Greek term lips is used to describe the south wind, and lat the charis or chorus north wind, northwest wind, and Euroclydon, a wind of very violent character coming from the east-northeast. So lots of talk about wind in scripture. And all of this is probably more interesting to trivia buffs or weather aficionados, but it's good for us all to understand the winds that is talked about in scripture and the different purposes they fulfill. And it helps us to understand what is being written, because it's usually, when we talk about winds, it's usually referring to weather events and how that affected all of the life of the people. And it also reminds us that God created the winds and uses them for all kinds of reasons. There are also many references, particularly in Ecclesiastes, about chasing after the wind, which really means doing something that is useless or meaningless. And in many other places, like in the prophets, it talks about the chaff being blown by the wind. In other words, useless stuff being blown off, and things that are done are useless and blown away. But if I were to ask you, what is one lesson you learned from the wind? What would you say? What does our scriptures say? One good example of this comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up. There's that word again. And that would be the definition of the winds that came, that were irregular winds. And a serious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." For the disciples, the wind was a huge lesson for them. They were on the Sea of Galilee, scared to the core of being shipwrecked. And Jesus rebuked the wind, and it was immediately calm. And so they weren't terrified of the wind anymore, but now they were terrified of Jesus, because even the wind and the waves obeyed him. They, I think, realized that Jesus was far more powerful, far bigger than anything they had ever experienced in their lives. And they were shocked. And it changed their perception of Jesus. In the summer theme song that we're singing, Creation Calls, the opening line says, "I have felt the wind blow, whispering my name." The two opposite ends of wind. One is terrifying and the other is calming. One is noisy as all get out and the other is quiet. God is whispering our name. God is in both and all of the in-between. Like I said at the beginning of our message, we tend to want the quiet, calm, winds that whisper our name. And that happens. But so too do the storms and the destructive winds, and God is there as well. God was in the wind at Pentecost. Acts 2:2 tells us, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting." The Message says, "A strong gale force wind." So it wasn't quiet. It wasn't calm. It wasn't God whispering their names. But it was powerful, power-filled wind, indicative of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm sure it scared the bejeebies out of the disciples. But look what it brought. And look how God used that. So if you take nothing from our thinking together today, please, let's remember the song that is in one of our playlists that most of us know. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. God created the wind. God is in the wind. God created us, and God is in us. All of creation is beautiful and sometimes frightening and always wonderful. But God is the God of the wind. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, blow in us, blow through us, and blow your love, your presence, your peace, and all of who you are throughout our lands, we pray. Amen. In you, eternal Father, and through your Son, Jesus Christ, we find the beginning and end of all things. In him we find hope, forgiveness, and courage for new beginnings. Let then, O God, the fresh winds of your Spirit sweep into our lives so that we may move in your service. Spirit of new life, as you have forgiven us and broken down the prison walls of our selfishness, May we continue to be open to your love and ready for service in your kingdom. Go before us, beside us, and behind us, we pray. Amen.